Tonight, we're going to talk about revival in a little different way. And we're going to begin in Genesis chapter 1. For those of you who have heard me minister before, Genesis chapter 1 is one of those books and chapters that I come back to over and over and over because there's just so much in there. And tonight is no different. I think one of the things that we're seeing in our country today is a lack of the body of Christ knowing who it is, and a lack of the body of Christ standing for the principles outlined in Scripture. So tonight, we're going to take a look at you. Okay? And I say that's all I'm going to say at this point because I don't want to give the message away. So in Genesis chapter 1, look at verse 26. It says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 27. So God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. When the Bible says that God has given dominion, what is the source of that dominion? It is God's life and God's nature. That is the source of that dominion. So if God gave man dominion, and that dominion flowed from his life and his nature, what is the true source of dominion when God first gave it to man? Operating out of his love. Operating out of his love. That was the intent. Because we know in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, it says God is love. That is his true defining characteristic. So if he's given us dominion, he's given us dominion so that we can operate out of his love. When we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, it says, God said, let us. I have this image of the Godhead getting together, and God Father saying, you know, I have this longing in my heart for children. And I'd like to do that, create some children, have children. Everybody was happy with that. Okay? And so when you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, you start seeing what God is giving to his children. The first thing he gives his children, and I think that's very significant, is his image. God gave his children exactly who he is without deity. Okay? God gave his children, look at someone and says, I am a child of God. He gave his children everything except deity. That is the only way his children could have true dominion, is to be exactly like him. Okay? And we see that the scope of that dominion is over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing in this world, in this earth, that we do not have dominion over. We have dominion. Okay? When God gave us dominion, that dominion included authority. Okay? So we have the authority to rule God's creation. Now, when God gave us the authority to rule, guess what he did not give us? He did not give us directly the power in that authority. That is what's so neat about having dominion. When God gave us dominion, God is saying, you will have to work with me to pull it off. You will have to work with me to make it happen. Okay? And we're going to see this again later on. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit getting together and deciding what we would look like. What we would look like. Now look in chapter 2, look at verse 7. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. He breathed into his life, to his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is what I want you to see, ladies and gentlemen. And it is so very, very important. God gave us dominion even before we existed. Do you see that? He gave man dominion before man breathed his first breath. Do you see that? Do you see what I'm saying? So God has already, by the time we get to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, God has already given man dominion. Okay? And so now what he simply does, he gives man the spiritual life to exercise that dominion the way he would exercise it. Are you following me? Okay? I want you to see something else. God gave man dominion before man breathed his first breath. God also gave man a soul before he ever breathed his first breath. Do you see this? Otherwise, why would the Bible say man became a living soul? He had to have a soul before he became a living soul. So what this tells me is God made us as individuals. He gave us a mind. He gave us thoughts. He gave us emotions. Everything that we exhibit in this life, how we live in this life, how we respond to things in this life, it comes out of the soul. God gave us that, ladies and gentlemen. He gave us that. That's why when, for example, when your child hurts Paul and hurts him or herself a whole bunch, the parent's heart aches because God gave us that emotion. God gave us that response to our children, to our parents, to anyone that we love. God gave us those emotions. Okay? So he put that in man before he put life into man. Do you see that, ladies and gentlemen? The life that God gave us, what it did, it allowed man, and I'm going to say it this way, it allowed man to be himself, to be herself. That's what God's life did. God's life, when he gave us his life, he didn't change us. He didn't change our souls. He just gave us life so that we could, that life that he gave us could live through that soul. That's very important, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we know that in Genesis chapter 3, man sinned, and so he lost the life that God gave him. But what did he not lose, ladies and gentlemen? His authority. His authority. So even though man in Genesis chapter 3 has a sin nature, he still, listen to me now, he still has dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. That is part of the dominion that God gave us. What I just said is very, very important. Okay? and we're going to see it. Hold on. Hold on. Don't throw eggs yet. Don't throw tomatoes yet unless you're going to add some salt to it. I love tomatoes and salt, okay? So if you're going to throw tomatoes, throw some salt too, okay? There is nowhere in Scripture where God takes back the dominion and authority that he gave man in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28. It doesn't say that when man sinned, God says, okay, now you no longer have authority, you no longer have dominion. God didn't say that. God did not say that. What man no longer had was the authority that comes out of a spiritual life. He no longer had an authority that dominates the way God would dominate. That's what he lost, that type of authority. We're going to see this also as we continue. Now, so many teach that Adam gave up his authority and transferred it to Satan when he sinned. How many of you have heard that? That is not true. That is not true. That is not true. That is not true. You know that's not true, right? In this world, ladies and gentlemen, the natural realm, you have to have flesh and blood to have authority. Flesh and blood to have authority. It doesn't have to be born again. The spirit doesn't have to be born again. The spirit can be dead with the sin nature, but you have to have flesh and blood to have authority and dominion in this world. Okay? Now, why am I making such a big point about that? The spiritual realm does not have authority in the natural realm. Can I get an amen? I guess not. Thank you. And I will make that statement clearer as we go on. Okay? The spirit realm has no authority in this realm. When people teach that Adam gave away his authority, they don't understand what we just read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, 27, 28, and Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, where God gave man authority before man existed, before man took his first breath. So that when man took his first breath, when he breathed his first life, he breathed his authority. When Stephen was born, Stephen breathed his first breath. He breathed his authority. Are you following me? Okay? Now we know that according to the Bible, our authority comes from the nature that's on the inside of us. Okay? How we use that spirit, how we use that life on the inside of us. Turn with me to 1 Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I'm finally starting to get some oxygen to my brain from having the mask on. Look at verse 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us partakers, has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." That word power is the word authority. So, when we are born the first time, We are born with authority that proceeds from darkness or the sin nature. That's where our authority comes from. But now that we have been transferred into the kingdom of his dear son, we now have authority that comes from a life-giving spirit. Okay? Comes from a life-giving spirit. Now, did you notice something in this verse, ladies and gentlemen? The power of darkness, the authority of darkness, could not stop us from receiving God's life and nature. Do you see this? So if the authority of darkness, the sin nature, could not stop us from being born again, from receiving God's life and nature, do you think the authority that resides in a sin nature can stop the authority that resides in a life-giving nature? No, it cannot. It cannot. But you have so many in the church who don't understand that. The life nature that we have on the inside, when combined with our authority, it kicks butt and takes names. And not necessarily in that order. We have been delivered from the authority of darkness. If we have been delivered from the authority of darkness, does darkness have any power or authority over us? No. No. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Yep, Matthew chapter 10. In Matthew chapter 10, we are going to read verse 1. And when he, Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples. Yo, Peter! Peter! Come here! Come here! No, it wasn't like that. He got on the phone, hey, Peter, I'm having a meeting at 12. I need you to show up with your cohorts, okay? You didn't do that either, okay? I have an imagination when it comes to reading the Bible, okay? And when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. That word power is exousia. He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. I want you to notice something in this, ladies and gentlemen. What Jesus gave the disciples, follow me. He gave them new nature authority. Do you see this? He gave them new nature authority. Because if he had not given to them new nature authority, then they would not have been able to do the things that they did. Are you following me? Now, what I also want you to see is this. Jesus gave them exousia, authority. Jesus did not give them the dunamis. Why? The dunamis comes from him. The dunamis, the power, the ability to do comes from him. Okay? And we're going to see this more clearly as we go on. What Jesus did by giving them the new nature authority, he gave them immediate access to the dunamis. Are you following me? Are you following me? In Luke chapter 10, look at verse 1. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. What did Jesus send the 70 with? New nature authority. Well, Brother Barry, how do you know he sent them with new nature authority? Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." So, the authority is the name of Jesus. The power comes because of the name. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Okay? We're going to read verse 20, but I want to stop at verse 19 for a moment. Verse 19, you see the word power used twice. There are two different Greek words. Okay? The first one is, "Behold, I give unto you exousia. I give unto you authority. I give..." Follow me, people. Follow me, please. "I give unto you authority." Now, what authority did Jesus give unto them? He gave them authority over the dunamis of the enemy. Do you see this? We have authority over the power, the dunamis of the enemy. And see, the word dunamis, it simply means you have the power, you have the ability to do what you want to do. Jesus has just said, ladies and gentlemen, we have power over the dunamis of Satan, which means Satan just cannot do what he wants to do when he's in the presence of someone who understands what they have. Are you following me? When you understand that you have authority over the power of Satan, over his kingdom, ladies and gentlemen, when the body of Christ understands that, you're not going to see all this rioting and looting. We will put a stop to that stuff. But oh no, we don't know who we are. We don't know the power and authority that resides in us. We stand by and we understand, oh my God, how is this happening? Why isn't someone doing anything? Go look in the mirror and you will find out why no one is doing anything, because you are not doing anything. We have authority over all the power of Satan. Did I emphasize that enough? Look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, and this is what's so neat about Jesus. He says, yeah, you have power. You have the authority over everything Satan does. But you know what, guys? That's not even the most important thing. The most important thing is not that the spirits are subject to you. The most important thing, your name is written in heaven. Praise God. Praise God. That is the most important thing, that your names are written in heaven. Turn with me to John chapter 17. Is anyone else sweating like me? You know what that means, right? Barry's on fire. He's hot. In John chapter 17, look at verse 16. I will join you there. Verse 16 says, and we're jumping right in the middle of this, Jesus says, they, the disciples, are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. My question, what qualified the disciples to be sent. Go back up and look at verse 8 of the same chapter. Look at what Jesus says. He says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." And what did they do with the words that Jesus gave to them? They received it. They received it. The sense that word received means not only did they hear what Jesus said, they believed what Jesus said without one single bit of doubt. And then they built their lives around what Jesus said. Are you following me? Only when our lives are built around the revelation of what God's word says are we qualified to be sent. Can I get an amen? There are so many people who stand in the pulpit who are not qualified to stand there. They are not qualified to be sent. Jesus says, "I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them." They have made it part of who they are. They are now living out of those words that I gave them, that you gave me, Father. And so because they are now living out of those words, because they are now living out of what you gave me that I gave them, I can send them out. Because what they're going to do, they're going to give people the word that I gave them, the word that you gave me. So I can send them out, Father. Alay, I'm sorry. I'm moving a lot. Father, he's saying, Father, I trust them. I trust them with your word. I trust them, Father. There is nothing that makes my heart beat with a giddy up than knowing that Jesus trusts me with his word. Because he knows that if he can trust me with his word, I'm going to deliver what he delivered. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to add to it. I'm not going to take away from it. You're going to get what Jesus spoke. Amen? We're getting close. When Jesus sent the 12, and when he sends us, he knew the new nature authority that would go with us. He knew the new nature authority that would go with us. Turn to Acts chapter 3. Another familiar record. Remember in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, "The works that I do, ye shall do also. And greater than these shall ye do because I go unto my Father." It's because of the new nature authority that we have in this life. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my prayer, it is my hope that by the time I am finished with this message, that you will have a different appreciation for your new nature and for the authority that your new nature has in this world. For the authority that your new nature has over everything that we're seeing in this country today. Okay? In Acts chapter 3, very familiar record, we're talking about new nature authority. Verse 1 in Acts chapter 3. "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, with John said, Look on us. Look on us. And he, the man, gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." And oh boy, he's going to get something he never in his life ever imagined. But I want you to see verse 6, ladies and gentlemen. Then Peter said unto him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Such as I have, I give it to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What did Peter say? Did he say, I'm going to pray to Jesus that you get up? Did he say, I'm going to pray to our Father that you get up? Peter knew, ladies and gentlemen, he had the authority in him to make that statement. He had the authority in him to make that statement. He had the authority, the new nature authority, to say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Sometimes we read these passages and it's almost like we rush to read them because we read them so many times before. But when we take the time to think about what the passages are saying, when we take the time to think about that a passage like this that we just read in Acts is telling us that, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings, I don't mean to offend you. This verse, because it's talking to Barry too, this verse is saying, Barry, there is a level of authority you are not even touching. There's a level of authority, Barry, that's available to you. You haven't even scratched the surface. I'm going to start scratching the surface because I want to see that authority manifest in my life, because that's when revival is going to happen. Today, many talk about the battle between good and evil and light and darkness as if the battle is only being waged in the realm of the spirit. But the question no one seems to address is this: what is the reason for the battle? What is the reason for the battle? If there's a battle being fought in the realm of the spirit, whatever it is that is being fought over has to be extremely important. Would you give me an amen? If good is fighting evil or battling evil, light is battling darkness, and they're battling darkness for a reason, should we not know what that reason is? Okay. I'm going to tell you the reason right now, ladies and gentlemen. When we understand what I'm about to say, you will understand what that reason is. Something we need to understand as part of the body of Christ: God has no authority on earth without a person's authority. Okay? God can use the authority of a person with a sin nature if he's given access to that authority. Do you believe that? For those of you who own the fence, who were hesitant to say anything, just look at the Old Testament. You got Noah. You got Moses. You got David. You got Abraham. You got Samuel. None of these folks were born again. They all had a sin nature that God used. Okay? Now, if God has no authority on earth without a person's authority, Satan has no authority on earth without a person's authority. Now, this is the sad part. This is what breaks my heart. Satan can access the authority of a person who is born again if it's given to him. Did you hear me, ladies and gentlemen? He has access to born again, new nature authority. That just breaks my heart. It really does. So, what is at stake here, ladies and gentlemen? Why are good and evil, light and darkness battling? They are battling for the authority of every single man, of every single woman, of every single child. They are battling for that authority. The battleground, the territory, if you will, that good and light are fighting for is the authority of every man, woman, and child. The battleground for evil and darkness is the authority of every man, woman, and child. You have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that the prize in this world, the prize in this realm is authority. The treasure in this world is a man, woman, or child's authority. Without a human being's authority, the spirit realm is powerless. Let that sink in. Without a human being's authority, the spirit realm is powerless. And we know right now, based on what we are seeing in this country, whose authority is flowing the most. We know whose authority is flowing the most. I pray that you get so angry, that you get so out of sorts, that you get so bent out of shape, that you are not going to allow your authority to be on the sideline. That you're not going to allow your authority not to be used. We know that authority comes through the spoken word. We know that. And that is why on Sunday nights, when we're here for 30 minutes of prayer, we are speaking, say it with me, our authority. That is what we are speaking, our authority. Knowing that authority is the prize, knowing that authority is the treasure, knowing that authority is what good and light, evil and darkness, knowing that our authority is what they are after, do you now understand 2 Timothy chapter, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, or the 1 Timothy? No, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Just like Jesus said back in John chapter 17, the reason he was able to send the men out is because they heard his word, they received his word. God needs men and women who know the truth and are operating in that truth. The more men and women he has operating in his truth, the more new nature authority will be seen in this world. Amen? I want to close with something from the prayer center. It's part of the blueprint that is, I think, very germane to what we just talked about here tonight. It's called, and it's a short one, it's the prophet that says, I am coaxing you. I am coaxing you. It says, it will be hard for some, he says. Some won't be able to see it and come all the way in, but do not despair for them. says the Spirit of grace. Some of mine are willing, even present tense, to tarry until it brings in what it takes. Everything for this outpouring. Many are on the verge of that place of authority that I have asked them to come to for many years. And I am asking you as a dear friend, come all the way. I am coaxing you. I am coaxing you to come all. But for those who can hear and can go ahead and make the last part of this journey all the way over, I will use your authority. I will use your authority. Do you see what God is telling us here? He's drawing us near. He's drawing us in so that he can use our authority. I will use your authority to bring others all the way. Many have asked in the days gone by, who will be some of the first to go all the way in and experience that glory? My heart is that you all come one and come all to this place. But there will be those who by choice of laying down their lives will make this last part of the transition over. And standing in that place, looking back, there will be an authority in their hearts to help bring others to this place. I am coaxing you. I am wooing you. Do not despair for those who have a hard time during these times, who do not understand the moment that you are in. I love them, and I have a place for them in my kingdom as well. But for those who are making the final part of the transition, this is meat for you. And it is not only for these times in the service, but it is an anthem to you to speak louder than words, to know that beyond these walls, it is your commitment to prayer. Now listen, that will bring my authority in the last part of this transition, says the Spirit of grace. So go all the way in and do not care, as in being overly careful for those who are not ready to make the journey. My love will flow not only to you, but through you to them. But let no distraction based on anyone's want, anyone's desire, or want for desire to come in. Do not look at them. Do not despair for them. You who have ears to hear, come all the way. Come all the way. And you will help bring others. You will coax others to this place, says the Spirit of grace. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our authority. It is our authority that God desires and that Satan desires. It is our authority. Because once they have the authority, they can release what's in the realm of the Spirit. They can release it. And like I just said, we're seeing so much right now what has been released from the realm of the Spirit from the power or the authority of darkness. So I want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, recognize how valuable you are. Recognize how important you are. Recognize how you are wanted. You are desired. You are craved after. You are wanted, ladies and gentlemen. But you have to decide who gets you. You have to decide who gets you. Okay? I've made my choice. I've already been got. So I pray that I'm speaking to men and women, children, young folks who have already been God. Amen. Please stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want more. I want more. And as I get more of my Father, He gets more of my authority. He gets more of my authority. And it is my prayer that He gets more of your authority to the point that you have no more authority to give. He has it all. And ladies and gentlemen, when we see that happening, revival is going to come like it's never been before. We haven't seen the kind of revival that God wants. We have that opportunity right now. Amen.